We're very thankful for this this opportunity to meet with you again here with this Zoom meeting that's provided by Union Primitive Baptist Church there in Ruth, Mississippi. It's good to see each one of you. It's good to see the brothers and sisters in Christ that meet together in this capacity. I very much appreciate the prayer by our precious brother, John Mark Quarles. Brother John Marcus is a precious friend of ours, and I'm very thankful for the fellowship that God has blessed me to have with him. Most of all, I would hope that the Holy Spirit would bless us tonight as we come before you, that the Lord would be our guide and our helper, and because our hope is that we would glorify the Lord with every word that come forth from our lips, and edify the people that are gathered together in God's word, that we can be strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to read along with us, please turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. If God be our helper, I'd like for us to read verses 8 through verses 14 in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want us to concentrate on three words that are found in these verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. If God would be our helper, I'd like for us to look at three words that were found in the verses that we've read in your hearing. And it's the words strangers, sojourners, and pilgrims. You know, we have many hymns in the hymn book that we sing from about us being strangers and sojourners and pilgrims in this world. Years ago, I walked from my mom and dad's house, and of course, this is when I was young there, living with mom and dad. I walked from their house to my grandpa Ben's house. That was my dad's dad. And my grandpa had a back room to his house that had large windows. I walked there to that back room, and I looked, and my grandpa had huge boxes of small tomato plants in that back room. And, you know, those tomato plants were not as tall as your pinky, you know, very small. I mentioned to Papa, I said, you know, those tomato plants that are there in those boxes in that back room, I said, they're not going to make it very long there in that room, Papa. And, you know, my papa, he never called me Ronnie. He called me Bunk. He said, Bunk, he said, there's something you need to understand. He said, I only have them there temporarily. He said, you see, I've got a field that I plowed and I've made ready for those plants. And he said, I'm going to move those plants to that field at a later time where they can flourish, and he said, and there they'll grow in the light and the light of the sun. You know, I remember that with my papa, and every time I read these verses here in Hebrews chapter 11, my mind is stirred to that experience. Those tomato plants and their temporary dwelling in those boxes in my grandpa's back room. You know, what is a stranger? What is a sojourner? What is a pilgrim? My definition of a stranger is one who dwells in a land that he is not originally from. Do you recall there in the book of Ruth when Ruth had come back with Naomi, of course, her being from Moab, and her being in the field there, and Boaz took notice of her. When Boaz took notice of her in chapter 2 and verse 10, she says, "Why have I found grace in thy sight that thou would take knowledge of me, seeing I'm but a stranger here?" What is she saying? I'm not from this area, Boaz. You know, I even recall David saying, I think it's in Psalms 119 verse 19, he's a stranger in the earth. He said, "Therefore hide not thy commandments from me, O Lord." David said, there's something about me that I'm not from this earth or of this earth. So a stranger is someone that's not from native to the time or to the area that he's dwelling. You know, this became, something that, I knew by experience when my daughter Sarah Beth was born in Seattle, Washington. You know, Sarah was born in a city about 50 miles west of Seattle, Washington. And the Lord blessed us and Sister Deborah Martin that we mentioned prayer for, in prayer request. She went with us there to help with the adoption as my family went there and the Lord blessed us to adopt Sarah Beth. You know, while we were there, because some of the paperwork got mixed up from desk to desk, we had to stay there just a little longer than what we wanted to stay. It was about 14 days. And, you know, in 14 days, you know, your hair can grow out. And I told my wife, I need to find me a barbershop and get a haircut before I go back home to Georgia and fill a preaching appointment. And so I walked into a little barbershop there in west of Seattle, Washington, and the man said, "May I help you?" I said, "Yes, I was wanting to get a haircut." I said, "I'm not from this area." And, of course, he, hearing my accent, he said, "No kidding." He said, "That was obvious when you begin to speak. I was a stranger there in that area." Well, what is a sojourner? A sojourner is a stranger that's living temporarily in a land. Do you remember Abraham when he was asking the sons of Heth and the people of Heth there in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 4 for that burial place for at Machpelah for his wife Sarah. He said, "You know, I'm but a stranger and a sojourner here as you are." So a sojourner is one that's temporarily dwelling or living in a place. Well, what is a pilgrim? Do you remember Peter? He beseeched the children of Israel in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it's verse 11. He beseeched them as strangers and pilgrims. A pilgrim is an individual that's a stranger and a sojourner who's living temporarily in a place, but whose focus and journey is not to be there forever, but to go through that to another land. So a pilgrim is a stranger who's going to go through an area, maybe living temporarily, but his focus and goal is to be in another place. These verses of scriptures that we read said that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and these saints in Hebrews chapter 11, they're strangers and sojourners and pilgrims. We sing hymns in our hymn books and we declare by our singing we're strangers, sojourners, and pilgrims. You know, before I'm going to be able to convince you that you are a stranger, sojourner, pilgrim in this world, I first need you to be convinced that you are a born-again child of God. You know, when I was growing up, and my dad, of course, was a missionary Baptist pastor for all of my years up until I was about 16, the preaching that my dad did convinced me that I was going to hell. I was convinced of that. And see, I remember all that. And I remember when I first began to try to preach, I thought, I don't ever want someone to feel like that, like I felt when I'm trying to preach. I want the children of God to hear me. I want you to be convinced you're a sinner, But I want you to be convinced and have assurance that you're a child of God and that Jesus died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. Brothers and sisters, have you ever grieved because of the sins of this world? Have you ever grieved? You remember the Apostle Paul, his heart was stirred there in Acts chapter 17 concerning the idolatry of those people of Athens. Have you ever just grieved? If you have grieved because of the sins of this world and the wrongdoings of this world, it's evidence that you are a child of God. Now, I realize that my natural birth took place in this land. But what that's saying is there's something in you that's not of this world. You remember Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Those words born again mean being born from above. There's something in you that's not of this world. Have you ever been grieved because of your own sin? If you've been grieved because of your own sin, it's evidence that you are a born again child of God. Have you ever felt in your life that you just didn't fit in with this world? There's just something about you that just didn't connect with this world. If you felt that way, that's evidence that you are a born again child of God. Is there something in you that longs for something better than this world? If you have something in you that longs for something better than this world, it is evidence that you are a born again child of God. And if you are a born again child of God, by the truth of Scripture, I declare unto you that in this world, you are a stranger, a sojourner, and a pilgrim. What's in you is not of this world. You are temporarily dwelling in this world, and praise God, by His grace, in being a stranger and a pilgrim, we're just going through this world to finally be in a place that's better than this world. And we, the children of God, while we live in this low ground, this difficult world that we live in, we need to be reminded of this fact, this scriptural fact, this truth that we, the children of God, are strangers, sojourners, and pilgrims in this world. Because understanding that, believing that, being reminded of that will do something for you right now in your life. You know, the information of Scripture does not make you a child of God. The information of Scripture has never made one person a child of God. We're His children by His grace and His grace alone. Our heavenly home is by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ plus nothing. But the information of Scripture will help you right now in your life as a child of God, trying to live a life of obedience unto Him, our Savior and our Master. Being reminded, understanding that you are a pilgrim, a sojourner, and a stranger. Do you realize that will cause you to have a tighter grip on spiritual things and a more loose grip on natural things? You and understanding that you're a stranger, sojourner, and pilgrim, that will cause you to grip tighter on those things of God, your hope of heaven above, and cause you to have a less grip on the things of the world. Why? I'm just here for a little while, right? This week, last week, actually, we canceled the Smoky Mountain meeting for the spring. Now, I would ask that each one of you pray for us as we look forward to the fall, and we're hoping that God's grace will bless us, that we'll be able to meet in the fall. But I remember one time my family went with me to the Smoky Mountain meeting, and we got there to the hotel, and I looked around, and I looked at the curtains. I looked at the, you know, the decoration of the room, and I looked at my wife, and I said, you know, honey, if this was our house, you think you'd like to keep those curtains? No, she didn't like the color of those curtains. Would you like this decoration in this room? No, I'd want something different. And in my house. Let me ask you, dear brothers, have you ever went on a vacation and stayed in a hotel and your wife look at you and say, I want to change these curtains. Will you go to Walmart and buy some new curtains? Have you ever looked at your wife and said, you know, while we're here in this hotel, I may call for a contractor and us do a little construction work and remodel and have the bathroom of this hotel room in a different place? No, we've never done that. You know why? We know we're just there for a little while. You know, curtains that are not the right color, a bathroom that's not in the place where we'd like it, or the decoration not being exactly the way we'd like it, it doesn't mean that much when you know you're just going to be there for a little while. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't care about anything. We should care, brothers and sisters. I mean, I care. I want my wife to enjoy the house that she has. I mean, I care about my children and their clothes that they're able to wear. I mean, I have got some care and concern about the world, but if our mind is on something better than this world, if we confess that we're strangers, pilgrims, and sojourners, isn't it kind of like that hotel where we got maybe a little less grip on the things of the world so we're not overly concerned? I think that will help us, as the Apostle Paul called on us, to be careful for nothing. We won't be as full of cares. You know the best way to not get overcome with a careless life? Keep in mind, hey, I'm just here for a little while. I'm just passing through. I'm a stranger, I'm a sojourner, and I'm a pilgrim. Another thing keeping that in mind will do, it'll help you to cope with the disappointments of life. How many of us could agree that this world is full of disappointments? Oh, this world's full of disappointments. I want to tell you, if in the world that we live in today, I think anyone could confess that we've all been disappointed in government. We've all been disappointed in the direction the world is going. You don't have to turn on your TV and watch very long to get disappointed. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm disappointed at Disney. I get disappointed at Disney. You know, I told someone, I was talking about Disney, they said it's the happiest place on earth. I said, if it's so much of a happy place, why are there roads going out of that place? If it's the happiest place on earth, it should be only roads going in. But last I checked, there's roads going in and out. You know, things in this world would disappoint you. I mean, you put a new roof on your house and, you know, they'll say, hey, we got a 40-year guarantee on this roof. It only lasts 25 years. It disappoints you. I mean, you go get you a brand new car and you think, well, I got a brand new car, everything's going good, and all of a sudden, you know, something goes wrong, it'll disappoint you. People in life would disappoint you. I remember a man named Jacob. He was disappointed with his sons when they lied to him. He was disappointed. You know, the Bible teaches us, Solomon said, I think it's in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, and neither be envious of the wicked. You know, that was something that Solomon's dad said in Psalms 37. So apparently David had taught Solomon that, and Solomon was teaching Rehoboam that, and of course it's taught to us all through God's word. You know, don't fret yourself. You know, don't get too wrapped up because people disappoint you. Hey, it's been happening since sin entered into the world, and it's going to keep on happening. The best way to handle disappointments of life is remembering, you know, disappointments are only so long. And praise God, there's a time coming when none of us will be disappointed. We'll all be happy in heaven. You know, there's no one that's going to go to heaven and say, you know, I thought it'd be bigger. I thought it'd be more beautiful. No, everyone is going to be amazed when they get to heaven. Keeping in mind that we're sojourners and pilgrims and strangers in this life will also help us concerning afflictions that we have. Now, this world is a difficult place for children of God. My heart breaks when I see children of God suffer. We used to do a nursing home service when I was pastoring the church there in Georgia. Families would ask me to go and pray with their loved one as they'd be in their last days, and I'd see the pains of this life. Now, many of you, I'm sure, said goodbye to a father, mother, grandmother, grandfather, brother, sister, maybe a son, daughter, a spouse, and you see them suffer, and it hurts. It hurts. This world is full of suffering. You know, Job said, man that's born of a woman, he's a few days, and he's full of troubles. You know, Jacob even said his years of his pilgrimage. You remember he makes reference to his pilgrimage there in Genesis 47 and verse 9, not being as long as his father's, but as few and evil have been my days. Very difficult in this world. But you know, when you really think about it, any suffering, anything that we go through, whatever it is that we're suffering, if we keep in mind it's only for a little while, does that not help us bear the suffering? What did Paul say there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If our mind is focused on glory above and us just being strangers, pilgrims, and sojourners in this life, it makes coping with sufferings easier. And you could say, like the Apostle Paul would say in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Keeping in mind that we're strangers and pilgrims and sojourners in this world will also help us to deal with death. You know, death is sure. You know, there's one that's going to stop death one day. When the Lord appears in the clouds, death will stop. I had a man that I talked to here in North Carolina. He's a director of a funeral home. And I told him I'm looking for the Lord to come back and put him out of business. When the Lord comes back, he'll put all the funeral homes out of business. I aggravated the brother. I said, you know, you're kind of the last person to let someone down. I said, but praise God, one day there's someone coming back that's going to put you out of business. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But until he appears in the clouds, they're going to die. Death has been in the world since Adam sinned. But you know, when you look at death, and how the Bible teaches death, it just being a passing from this life into glory, you kind of put it together and say, you know, all that is them going to that land before me, and one day we'll see each other again. And let me ask you, if you were sending your spouse somewhere and they were going to go and you had some work to take care of and you said, hey, I'll be there a little later, would you miss them as bad if you knew you was going somewhere and you was going to stay away from them for a month? Wow. If my wife went somewhere ahead of me, if I knew she was going to be gone a month, I'm going to tell you, I've learned something here about the Loudermilk household. My wife is the glue. Without my wife, the house falls apart. And a month in our house would be a lot for us Loudermilks. But if I thought, you know, my wife is going somewhere and hey, I'm going to be there in just a little while, you know, it's easier for me to deal with that. Now, I want you to think about death and your father and your mother, aunts, uncles, grandma and grandpa, and them being gathered up into heaven as Abraham was gathered up into heaven, Isaac was gathered up into heaven, gathered to his people as Moses and Aaron, all the children of God have been gathered to heaven. You know, they're there, but it's just a little while. And we're going to be there with them. Why? Because we're just strangers and sojourners and pilgrims in this land. I'll tell you something else. Keeping in mind you're a stranger and pilgrim sojourner do for you. It'll motivate you. It'll motivate you to live a godly life because over and over you're reminded you just have a little while. Just a little while in this life to glorify God. And give an example to other children of God and encourage them in their spiritual walk and walking in obedience to the Lord. There's a parable that comes to my mind when I think about being motivated to serve God in my short period of time that I have here in this world. It's found in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And the parable is about the kingdom of God, which I believe it's the church kingdom, and it's about an individual who would go into a far country. He would call his servants, and he'd deliver unto them his goods. Remember, he had one he gave five talents to, one two, and he won one. The one that had five talents, he took what God gave him, and he doubled it. The one that had two, he took what God gave him, and he doubled it. The one that had one, he hid it. He didn't put it to good use. When the man came back from his journey. He took the one that had the five that had doubled him. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful in few things. Thou shalt be ruler over many things. Now, that was a good pat on the back, was it not? The one that had two, he doubled it. And the same was said to him. The one that had one, whoa. He didn't have such positive things to say about him. But he cast him into outer darkness. Now, the reason I think this is making reference to the church kingdom, I believe the blessings of taking what God has done and give to us and using them is temporal. I also believe that outer darkness there is temporal because I believe disobedient children of God waste things that God gives them. Now, if this is making reference to eternal, then that outer darkness would have to be hell, and I don't believe that. I believe there's many disobedient children of God that let the things that God give them go to waste, and they don't take advantage of the time and the grace that God has given them in their lives. But that one and that other, the one that had five and the one that had two, took what was given them and the time that they had, and they took advantage of it and they put it to use. And the man came, oh good, thou faithful servant. You know, brothers and sisters, those blessings the Lord gives us that the world is not able to give, those temporal blessings of grace, was like you get that smile from the Lord. Wow, they're worth a lot, are they not? Is it worth a lot in this life to take advantage of the time that God gives you, to take advantage of his temporal grace, put it to good use, and enjoy those rich blessings of God? You know, God is not in debt to us to bless us any, but what a sweet blessing it is when he blesses us in that obedience and service. I'll tell you, when you look at a church and a church is laboring in faithful obedience to the Lord, and one Sunday they look and here comes one that walks down and asks for a home in the church. How about it, Brother Joe? Does that make your heart feel good and gives you joy in all those years of service? Praise God, it does to me. And I love to see the church smile. And it's like the Lord saying, thou good and faithful servant. We have but a little while. And those blessings from the Lord that we receive in that little while and doing as we should, the world can't give you those. See, I have but a short time to do what God has called on us to do. You know, and if I don't do it, if you don't do it, who's going to do it? If we, the children of God, that God has blessed with light and understanding that are part of his visible kingdom here in this world, if we don't let the light shine, give glory to him, who's going to do it? Do you remember there in Matthew chapter 3 when Jesus comes to John the Baptist to be baptized? John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. You know, Jesus never corrected him. Mm-mm. Jesus said, suffer it to be thus, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, I'm going to take this little Georgia mind of mine and this mouth, and I'm going to try to tell you what I think that verse is saying. Jesus comes to John and says, John, my Father has called on you, has sent you to do this today. I am come into this world to die on the cross for my people, to be identified with them, and I am come to you today to be baptized. If you and I don't do this today, who's going to do it? It becometh us. Brothers and sisters, when we consider what God has given us, an understanding that we're but strangers and pilgrims and sojourners, we should take advantage of the time that we have, enjoy the temporal rich blessings of God, that we can give glory to him right now to encourage other children of God and give them an example. But also keeping in mind this, it's just a little while. And all this in this world is going to be over for us. Because, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we're just passing through this life. You know, that's one reason I love my King James Bible. My King James Bible just speaks to my heart. You remember there in Psalms chapter 23, David said this, I think it's verse 5, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, that's not what it reads. David said, yea, thou walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what that's telling me, brothers and sisters? We're strangers, pilgrims, and sojourners. We should take advantage of the time that God has given us, serve God faithfully, enjoying those temporal blessings of the Lord that he's promised to give, but keeping in mind it's just a little while, and praise God, it's gonna be over, and we're going to be with him in a better, no, Paul said, a far better place. Now, how far is far? I don't know. I haven't been there yet, but praise God, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm there. When I'm there and I see you with me, then I'll be able to tell you just how far better that land is. But until then, let us remember, I'm but a stranger and a sojourner and a pilgrim here, and may God give us grace to serve him better. May God richly bless us, our prayer.